Carol Gilmore stands beneath a large sycamore tree in her parents' backyard on Bloomington's Old West Side, eyes lifting warily. Overhead, hundreds of European starlings swirl and surge in massive flocks, peppering the gray winter evening sky. The birds are in search of a roosting place for the night, and Gilmore knows just where they'll settle, right where they've roosted for too many nights before, in the old sycamore. Gilmore's not just tired of this nightly ritual, she's disgusted.
The smell, the odor, the mess, the smell, the displeasure at this whole thing. Now we're coming, see? Now we're coming. And we will probably get pooped on.
Great.
Get a step under the eaves here.
It's that mess that the starlings leave on the ground that most has Gilmore concerned. The health hazards of hundreds of starling droppings leaves her family wary to venture into the backyard. As a result, she's tried a variety of tricks to scare off the enormous flocks.
We've tried bright lights, we've tried loud noise, we've tried firecrackers, banging pots and pans, and...
Nothing shifts them.
No. Maybe temporarily. But see, okay, we're definitely beginning. In the background, you hear the firecrackers going off.
I think in town you have to grin and bear it.
That's Jeannie Morse, the manager of Wild Birds Unlimited in Normal.
Because they are dependent on big trees to roost in.
Morse says that each autumn, starlings begin massing in huge flocks, where there's safety in numbers. And that's where a lot of enemies are made, like Carol Gilmore. But there are those who have been charmed by the bird, which is a distant cousin of the mynah. Starlings made friends and influenced people in Europe by being able to imitate human speech. A quick search on YouTube reveals one particularly vocal starling named Liberty. Artist Brian Collier of Bloomington became intrigued by the starlings when he noticed them massing in a giant tree outside his studio window.
So I was just struck. I would walk out of the back of the building and you could smell the birds and you could like feel the presence of just thousands and thousands of animals.
What was a nuisance to Carol Gilmore was an inspiration to Collier.
Most people think of these animals as these horrible pests, right? So what could we do to sort of shift that image a little bit and turn them into a productive tool? And so I thought if we started this program that would teach them all to say the name of the man who introduced them to North America, we could actually turn them into this incredible environmental teaching tool.
Collier wants everyone to be a part of his art project, Teach the Starlings. He distributes informational postcards throughout the communities that host his project, detailing the history behind the starling in North America and Shakespeare fan Eugene Schieflin's environmental no-no.
One of the central pushes of the project is to invite people to actually do this. This isn't me doing this. This is me inviting other people to go out in their environment and shout Schieflin at starlings, and hopefully the larger the numbers of people doing this, the more likely that the starlings will actually learn.
Collier is also teaching straight to the source. Playing on the starlings' ability to mimic human speech, the project includes nesting boxes and suet feeders with motion trigger audio players inside.
And so as the starling enters and exits the nest box, the audio player plays Schieflin inside the box.
So I see the suet feeder.
So the starling will fly up to it and
Schieflin.
Trigger that.
Schieflin.
So far, Collier hasn't heard any of the starlings emerging from the box say Schieflin, but one day he was sitting on his back porch.
And I heard people in the back alley saying, Schieflin, Schieflin, Schieflin. And I found two of my neighbors shouting at a starling sitting on a power line because they had found this card at the coffee shop and they had no idea it was me.
Collier contends he's not advocating for the starling. Rather, he's trying to educate people. Jeannie Morse of Wild Birds Unlimited says that's not a bad idea. She says it wasn't by choice that the starling came to America and that we need to remember the European settlers who came here long ago and displaced many Native Americans. They, too, can be considered an invasive species.
A lot of us have white Anglo-Saxon heritage, so if you take that in context and compare it to what the starling has done, I think it just makes you a little more understanding.
So long as the starlings continue to fill her family's sycamore, Carol Gilmore is a long way from understanding.
I would not be one of those folks that are going to love starlings, ever.
Schieflin! Schieflin!
I'm Laura Kennedy. WGLT News.